Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Monday, January 26, 2015. And on today's podcast, we're going to be discussing the death of King Abdullah bin Abdul Aziz, King Abdullah for short, the sixth king of Saudi Arabia, dead at the age of 90 from a lung infection resulting from pneumonia, reportedly. It's hard to imagine a more important trading partner for the United States than Saudi Arabia, perhaps China or Europe, from whom we both buy and sell, usually running a trade imbalance, at least with China. But with Saudi Arabia, we mostly just buy because its economy, its whole economy, is the oil that lies beneath its sands. That Saudi oil could be cut off to the West is unthinkable, because the West would grind to a halt without it. At least it would slow way down. Therefore, the person who runs Saudi Arabia is very, very important to the United States. Abdullah came to power in a time of change, and he was a reformer leading that change. He remained independent of the United States in his foreign policy, but he managed to maintain good relations anyway, at least until the reign of Barack Hussein Obama. There are coming, however, some very difficult times for Saudi Arabia, I predict. The Saud family runs Arabia as their own personal country, thus the name Saudi Arabia. Salman bin Abdulaziz Al Saud, age 79, or King Salman, has been appointed to succeed Abdullah. So the kingdom is back in Saud hands. Abdullah was not one of the original Saud sons, you see, having a different mother. So Salman is Abdullah's half-brother. He, Salman, has been running the country for some time because of Abdullah's illness. But with Abdullah's death, he moved quickly to consolidate power and to solidify power into the hands of his Saud relatives. The death of Abdullah occurred January 22nd. He was a reformer, as I said, who tried to rein in the religious police and the harsh treatment of unbelievers, with Salman running things. At least 15 people have been executed so far this year in 2015, executed for such things as adultery, professing Christianity, other such crimes. Why then do I predict hard times ahead for the Saudi kingdom? Well, the Saud royals are Wahhabi Sunni Muslims who are therefore threatened by and at war with rival sects of Islam, such as Shia Islam. The people of the southern provinces of Arabia are Shia Muslim, as are those in Yemen on the southern border of Arabia. On the same day, January 22nd, as Abdullah's death, the Yemen government fell to Houthi rebels who are backed, that is, armed and supported by Shia Iran. So now the Saud family, which is really a colonial power within Arabia, with its oil billions, has a hostile enemy located on its southern border, an enemy which will undoubtedly start rebellions among the southern Shia provinces. The United States used its drones and special forces to prevent the Houthis' takeover of Yemen, but this effort was unsuccessful, apparently. Iran has won that round. The United States, however, has not conceded. It continues, even today, its counterterrorism and drone efforts in Yemen. Could that be the reason the U.S. Congress is talking about additional sanctions on Iran? Well, that, and that's what Mr. Netanyahu wants them to do. But President Obama seems oblivious to all these efforts, choosing, I suppose, the Iranians over the Saud family. However, the Sunday edition of the New York Times reports to us that President Obama has ended his trip to India early. He ended his trip early and said he had to get to Saudi Arabia, so he left India early to head to Saudi Arabia. I wonder what he will do there. I wonder what he will say to King Salman. I hope it's not the kind of thing he says to us, which would be something like this. Okay, King Salman, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? There is nothing out there. You are not seeing this. But let's hope he doesn't do that. I point out, though, that while the United States had passed Saudi Arabia in oil production, it still does not produce but a fraction of what it needs. The price collapse in oil is taking American oil companies offline and threatening that source of our supply. Plus, President Obama will not approve the Keystone Pipeline in light of this Iranian problem in Saudi Arabia. Who can know this man? What drives him to do such a thing? If that were all, folks, it would be plenty, but it gets worse. According to a report in the Middle East Quarterly, winter 2015 edition, the report entitled Iran Goes Ballistic, while the world watched Iran's efforts to become a strategic nuclear threat, Iran is quietly amassing a massive arsenal of ballistic missiles, which pose a threat to the oil facilities of the Saudi and Emirate states, but also to Western military presence in the area. The press then is filled with stories of Gulf Council members scrambling to acquire air defense and anti-ballistic missile defense capabilities. Iran cannot hope to match the superior big iron power of the United States and its allies, so it has adopted the classic asymmetric warfare tactic of attacking soft targets where the enemy is most vulnerable, that is, civilian shipping, oil wells, oil infrastructure. This tactic is designed to offset the reliance of the United States on superior advanced weapons systems. Iran's aging Air Force, denied spare parts by American sanctions, is offset, Tehran hopes, by 1,000 ballistic missiles or more of advanced design they have apparently obtained from Russia and China. Estimates are that Iran has more than 1,000 of these missiles in the 150 to 2,000 mile range, not designed to hit heavily defended moving naval targets at sea. They are ideal, however, to attack and swarm interior infrastructure. Finally, folks, that's all we have time for today, but this story continues. Are we headed for another big war in the Middle East? It sure looks that way, folks, but time will tell. At least that's the way I see it. Until next time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.